1 Corinthians 3:6 says, in the words of the Apostle Paul, I've planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase, or giveth the increase. There's an indication in that verse of something that is stated a little bit plainer in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 3. We are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. I use that verse tonight to introduce an idea that I think we really need to look at and put in proper focus. What should we turn over to God? And perhaps another question ought to be immediately asked, what has God turned over to us? It seems to me that there are two extremes that we see taken. On the one hand, there is the extreme that is suggested by the person who says, I'd rather do it myself. I don't need your help. I don't need God's help. I'll just take care of all the decisions and I'll do everything by myself. I don't need anybody else's help. That's a very dangerous position. That's a position that would definitely be taken by the atheist, perhaps by the agnostic, but it goes even further than that. Sometimes, without realizing it, if we're not careful, we allow ourselves to depend on our own thinking process to the extent that we may attempt to do God's work. Work that he has reserved for himself. But there's another extreme that I think is just as dangerous, and maybe even more so for us. And that is the extreme that I'll just turn everything over to God. And I'm hearing that statement made more and more. The idea that is presented is that I've been trying to make decisions for myself, and I've decided that I'm going to turn all the decisions over to God. We need to think that through, I believe. There has been a tendency on the part of people down through the years in dealing with religious attitudes and doctrines to try to get rid of responsibility. The doctrine of predestination is a doctrine that somewhat goes into that category. The idea of predestination by some is that God has already predestined, he has already decided who will be saved and who will not be saved, and there's nothing I can do about it. You see, that places all the decisions with God and none of the decisions with us. The doctrine of the direct operation of the Holy Spirit in our day and time tends to fit into that. I have talked with people who said, I want to be saved, I would like to be saved, but evidently God doesn't want me to be saved. I remember one person particularly, a man who is still living now at about his 90s, who's been a Christian for tens of years, who told me about trying to get God or the Spirit to come in a direct way to save him, and he said, I literally rolled from one cornrow to the other, time and time again, asking God to come down and save me, or asking the Holy Spirit to come and save me. Putting on to God the responsibility that in this particular case God has placed with us to do some things and to make some decisions and to take some steps. I think the doctrine of the impossibility of apostasy is something like this. Once saved, always saved. I've become a Christian. There's nothing that I can do. I even have quotes from some who say, there is no good that I can do that will affect my soul's salvation. There is no evil that I can do that will affect my soul's salvation. And even in some instances, by those who are connected with the church, there are statements that there is nothing whatsoever that we do on our part that has anything whatsoever to do with our salvation. And the bottom line of that is that it's all up to God, and I don't have anything to do. And then this idea that is sometimes expressed, vocally expressed, I've decided to turn everything over to God. I think I know what is meant by many who would use that last statement. I think I know, and I hope that this is the case, that usually when we use it, we mean by that, I've decided to turn my life over to live by the principles of God's Word. I've decided to make my life a life that is based upon the Word of God. That I've been trying too long to decide for myself what I want to do without taking God into the picture And if we mean that, then certainly that is a good idea. But even in the passage where Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, and then went ahead to say, I live, he said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, Paul said, I'm living my life. I have the responsibility for my life. But I'm living it by faith in the Son of God. I'm going to turn my will over to what is mentioned in God's Word and be guided by that. And even though I'll have to make some decisions and I'll have to put forth some effort, I want it to be within the boundary of God's Word. I hope that's what is meant when we use that statement, and I'm persuaded that it is in many instances. But still, we live at a time when there is a tendency to pass the buck and to place the blame somewhere else when we have problems. And I think we need to put this in proper focus. What do we turn over to God? What do we leave to God? And what has God turned over to us and left for us? Definitely, we have no business trying to take care of the providential care of this world. That's in God's hands. The Lord gave and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, is the statement of Job at the latter part of chapter 1. The psalmist said in talking about God in Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God, as he refers to the God of heaven. And God is saying there through the psalmist that we need to have the right kind of respect for God, and we need to realize how powerful he is. We talk about his power. We talk about his knowledge. We talk about his presence. We sometimes will say that God is in his heaven and all's right with the world. And sometimes we'll say God is in his heaven and all may not be right with the world. But there's no doubt about it, God is in his heaven. God is in control. And we only have to look at nature itself and some of the things that happen that remind us rather quickly sometimes how helpless we are in trying to control the elements of the universe. There's not a one of us in here tonight who would have had that tree blow over at the bottom of the parking lot here a few days ago and do the damage that it did. But what could we do about it? What control did we have? And the answer is none. God is in charge of this universe. He said he'll make a way. We believe that he will, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. And we need to be sure that we do not try to take that into our hands. Leave that to God. That's God's business. And thanks be to him for his knowledge that he's able to look at things from a vantage point where you and I cannot. And sometimes some of the things that seem to us to be great mistakes at the time turn out to be some of the greatest blessings when we are able in our own limited way to understand how God works. We need to turn over to God the burdens that are too heavy for us to bear. There are some burdens that God never intended for us to bear. He said he'd bear them for us. We do have our own burdens to bear, and we have the burdens of one another to bear, as we discussed in detail just a few weeks ago, described in Galatians chapter 6. But there are those burdens that have gone over our heads, Psalms 38 verse 4, and the promise is in Psalms 55, 22, that God will bear those burdens, and he will not allow us to be burdened with more than we can bear. And there are many areas, for example, in sicknesses, where we can only go so far, even with all the technology we have and the ability of all the good doctors that we have and the medicines that we have, we can only go so far. And then we turn the rest over to God. But folks, don't we need to go so far and not expect God to do all the work for us and to take our own burdens? When it comes to having bread on our tables and supplying for the needs of our families, we ask God to give us our daily bread. And there are many factors that are involved, such as the weather and things of that nature, where you and I have no control. But do we not have control over some areas, and does not God expect us not to turn those things over to him? Does it mean if I'm going to turn my life over to God that I just sit down and say, God, feed me? I'm going to leave it to you. You take care of all the responsibilities. I don't have any. I think all of us know that's not the case. But there are burdens that are too heavy for us to bear, and those are the ones that we turn over to God. And then, as indicated in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, we are to cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. We're to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, realizing how little we are compared to him and how important he is, how great he is, and how gracious he is. And there are many cares of this world that we're to turn over to him, but are we to turn over all the cares? We are instructed and commanded in 1 Corinthians 12 to care for one another in the Lord's body. And certainly the love that we're to have within our families and among our friends and acquaintances bring about cares and concerns. We need to instruct ourselves not to worry, and I need that as much, or maybe more than most of you. And yet there are concerns and cares that we are to have. This passage doesn't mean that we just cast everything in God's hands, say, God, you take care of everything. And this is further proved just two verses later in verse 9 of that chapter. After talking about the devil as a roaring lion in verse 8, he says, whom resist? He didn't say God's going to resist the devil for you. He told us that we have some responsibility to resist the devil. So there are some things that we turn over to God. And we ought never to try to do God's work. We ought never to try to play God. And we ought to be so thankful that he is there with his providence, there to bear the burdens that are too heavy for us, and there to have the cares that are too heavy for us and too many for us. But folks, there are some ways in which God's turned some things over to us. And if we shirk our responsibility, we can lose our own souls and contribute to the loss of other souls. We don't just say, I'm going to turn everything over to God and God's going to take care of everything and I have no responsibility. I sat in a class a few years ago where a person said that. I just get up in the morning and I say, God, here I am. You make all my decisions. And she went ahead and said, I don't have to decide anything during the day. Well, that would be a different type of life, and that's different from what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Jesus came and brought us one of the greatest treasures, perhaps the greatest treasure that could ever exist, and he left it in earthen vessels. He left us, his people, with the responsibility to do something with that treasure. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, he tells us we are to be good stewards of it. And certainly the example of the talents in Matthew 25 shows us that you don't just turn the talents over to God. You don't turn the responsibilities over to the one who gave them to us. When the one talent man attempted that, or at least not to accept his responsibilities, he had problems. Folks, God has turned some responsibilities over to us. And I am responsible for my life. I am responsible for decisions in my life. I cannot save myself apart from God. But I'm even told to save myself from this untoward generation in Acts 2 and to work out my own salvation, Philippians 2:12. Not provide the way, but to do something within the framework that God has given. We have responsibilities and we ought not to shirk them. I have had people pray that God would put into my mouth the things that I ought to say. I don't believe he does that. Paul told Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. And in verse 16, he said, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine, continue in them that you might save yourself and them that hear you. Are we going to turn our study over to God? Evidently, sometimes some have, because they're not doing much of it. Maybe all of us fit into that category. Is that what we're turning over to God? No, God's turned that over to us. Now, I don't want to limit the power of God, and I'm not for sure that I can understand the completeness of God's power and all the things that he does that helps me. I'm sure that he helps me. But I understand the Bible to teach that as a preacher, I must study and prepare and know his word, learn his word, and to be able to preach it and to teach it to others. He's turned that responsibility over to me. And if you're in a class getting ready for finals, are you going to turn your study over to God? Just going to sit down and say, God, I'm turning my life over to you completely. You do the studying for me, and I want an A on the test. I think that God may be the only one that's not surprised at the end result of that. Do we turn these things over? He's turned these things over to us. Elders certainly are to trust in God, and yet God has given them the responsibility to feed the flock. What if the elders said, God, we're going to turn this over to you. You feed the flock. No, God said through Peter, elders, you feed the flock. And he said in Hebrews 13, 17, elders, you have an account for the souls of the people. Well, now, God, we're going to turn... No, God's turned that over to the elders within a local congregation. With God's help, God doing his part, of course. Deacons, use the office of a deacon. Twice used there in 1 Timothy 3. The deacons simply say, well, we're just going to turn our lives over to God. I hope in the sense I explained earlier that all do. But God's turning over to you responsibilities. And when elders within a congregation make assignments and give you the specific authority to move within that area, that's turned over to you. And I don't believe God's going to do it for you. I don't find that taught in the Word of God anywhere. Young people, there are many things that we need to turn over to God, but God's turned something over to you. He said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example." And he went ahead to talk about how, in word and conduct, and you know the other points that are there in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Who has the responsibility to make a decision? You're out on a date. There's a decision that has to be made, whether to do something right or wrong, or whether to go in one direction or another direction. Did you just simply say, "I'll turn this decision over to God and let God make it"? This morning, when a decision was made of whether to sleep in and not come to services or to get up and come to the services of the church, did you turn that decision over to God? I don't believe you did, because I don't believe God would make that decision. I don't believe God would make the decision for us to neglect the opportunity to worship Him and serve Him. God's turned that decision over to us. And when we decide to be involved in something that's immorality or be involved in something that's neglectful, that's a decision we're making. And God not only has turned that over to us, but He will hold us accountable for that decision. Belief, repentance, confession, being baptized for the remission of sins, obeying from the heart, Romans 6:17. Who must make that decision? Do we turn that over to God? No, God's turned that over to us. I think we really need to think about this. I hope all of us will come closer and closer to the point that we're going to try to turn our lives into the type life that is lived according to God's will. And that we're going to try never to take His work and to try to do it ourselves. There in that verse, "I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase." We preachers especially, if we're not careful, will get ourselves too much involved in the increase than in the planting and the watering. We don't need to take God's work. He'll handle that. But we don't need God to expect God to do our work. We don't need to expect Him to do the planting and the watering. You see, He's turned that over to us. We need to appreciate God for who He is. And we need to realize how much He cares for us and how much His providence is involved and how He's ready to bear those burdens that are too heavy for us. But folks, it's time that we, as members of the body of Christ and followers of Him, accepted the personal responsibility that He has given to us. God has turned some things over to us to make some decisions. And I think this is best illustrated in Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now, wait a minute, Christ. We've turned everything over to you. You decide whether or not to come in. Christ says, "I stand at the door and knock." You decide. You decide whether you're going to open the door or not. I've given you that responsibility. I've turned that over to you. Christ is saying, "I'm not going to make the decision for you. I'm ready. I'm standing at the door and knocking. You decide whether to open the door and let me in." God has turned personal responsibility over to us. And that means accepting that responsibility to become Christians and live as Christians. And if you've not done that, you need to come as together we stand and sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis a fountain of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you.